Today on Mr. Media, I'll talk to Tampa stand-up comedian and actor, Ward Smith, who's making a bit of a splash this summer with appearances on USA's Burn Notice and Lifetime's Army Wives. Stick around. All I can tell you with any certainty is that he's not one of the wives.
Very nicely done, sir.
Mr. Media is recorded live before a studio audience of struggling young actors who got to know Mr. Media 25 years ago and are finally seeing the payoff today in the new media capital of the world, St. Petersburg, Florida. Every 10 or 20 years, Ward Smith and I cross paths. The first time was back in 1987 when I started a Tampa Bay Area feature magazine called Jump Monthly. It neither jumped nor came out monthly, but that's a conversation for another time. Back then, we profiled Ward, an up-and-coming local stand-up comedian whose father, Hugh, the longtime anchor of our then CBS affiliate's Evening News, was a local icon. In the intervening years, Ward became a husband and father and teamed up with a local radio legend, Cleveland Wheeler, and was a writer and air personality for the final days of the Morning Zoo. Sometime after that gig ended, I met Wheeler for lunch at the St. Petersburg burger landmark, El Cap, and was delighted when Ward turned up as a surprise guest. Now, earlier this year, Ward resurfaced on Facebook announcing his new career as an actor. Lucky guy, he landed roles on USA's Burn Notice and Lifetime's Army Wives. Now, the first of his Army Wives appearances, and he plays Detective Barker, will be telecast Sunday, June 24th at 10 p.m., and then he'll be back the following Sunday, July 1st. Then look for him, 2 weeks later, on Burn Notice on July 19th at 9 p.m. He plays an MI6 agent named Arthur Myers who conducts a bit of horse trading with beautiful star Gabriel Anwar's character, Fiona. Now, Ward is also the voice of the offensive coordinator for the Madden 2012 video game. And while he's not yet a household name outside of the Smith household, he is an old friend, and I'm eager to hear the details of his new life. Ward Smith, welcome to Mr. Media.
Thank you, Mr. Media. It's good to see you.
Good to see you. I'm very excited for you, as I know a lot of people on Facebook are.
Hey, it's an interesting time. You know, after what pursuing it for somewhat 30 years in some fashion or another, not actually, you know, be focused enough to do it, having the ability and having the time in my life where I can pursue it full time. It really kind of came together in about 5 months after once I sat down in October and really focused on, okay, this is what I got to do. I contacted some local actors that are working an awful lot. Figured, okay, give me the straight skinny on who the reputable agents are in town, where do you go, how do we get started? I mean, out of sight is out of mind, and I just forgot all the players after a while. If you remember, Dot Burns was my agent at one time, and she's long since departed. And as a matter of fact, my dad hired her back in the day. Wow. And I didn't know where to start from, you know. And so I went over to perform a studio workshop in Tampa, Kathy Laughlin's place. She's been there for about 30 years. And I've never taken any classes there, just been there in the past for some commercial castings and whatnot. And so by going there and doing some scene work and going through the process and understanding and, you know, hearing, she gives a kind of a state of affairs on the marketplace for actors in the Southeast, namely Florida, South Florida, on this coast, as opposed to, you know, Orlando and Miami, and what we can expect and what we can look forward to. There's no one around who really gives you the straight, you know, skinny on what's going on out there and stuff we need to know. So by getting immersed in that class, doing scenes with other actors, eventually showcasing for casting directors and agents that are brought in, and the agent in Tampa, Kelly Page over at Level Talent, she saw me and then signed me. And now the big thing was, you know, trying to push me. And using technology like it is right now, a lot of it is auditions. You're shot from here up. A friend shoots you with a decent quality camera against a neutral background, and you're looking off camera when you're meeting with the other actor. And then email it, send it to your agents or whatnot, and then they call you back. So I haven't done that much in terms of, you know, television work. Not any, really. You know, outside the local market back in the day. But so she was aggressive enough in pushing me in the right direction. I guess a lot of things were working for me. Auditioned well, and then, bam, the Army Wives thing hit.
Can I tell you my theory about why it's working for you now?
Go ahead.
It's your face.
It's your face.
No, it's your face.
It's your face.
Hey.
It's your face.
It's your face. I'm serious. Yeah. I'm looking at you, and I'm realizing, like, for a show like Burn Notice, you have the face of – you look like one of the guys on Burn Notice, for example. I mean, you know.
I'm not one of the guys on Burn Notice. Well, I like to be one of the guys who keeps coming back on Burn Notice.
Well, too. I mean, you know, well, hopefully that'll happen for you. But
well, I had a little work done. See, when you saw me last time, you know, I was an African-American male. So I, you know, had the nose, you know, kind of re-elongated, and the hairline just, you know, a little work here and there, because I did break my nose, so I just kind of had a little more character put into it. And then, but not that much has changed.
Yeah, but life changes us. I mean, your face has character in a way that you're 49. Maybe if you don't want people to know that, it's too late now. But your face has character in ways that a 25 or 30 year old's face does not. And you,
right.
I mean, I'm just a little older than you, and it makes a difference on some of these shows where they're not playing up to teenagers.
Well, at the same time, they're still looking for looks, you know, a book a look type thing. If it comes down, it sounds like a Yiddish word, a book a look. So, but what happens is when you show up, you might audition well and know the part cold and have the character down cold. And then the guy right after you might be 2 inches taller. Maybe his hair's a little darker. Maybe it's a little lighter. Maybe he's a little shorter. Maybe he's a little squattier. Maybe he's got a little more facial hair or none at all, depending on it. And then that's it.
Facial
and it's
hair.
Right. Yeah. It's some, see, I can't grow
other hair.
Last time we met, you did have hair.
Yeah, well. So. That's well, that's a long time ago.
So that's what happens when they look for somebody that's in the shows, and that's one thing you learn. You know, at this place over in Tampa, at Kathy's place, the Performance Studio Workshop, he encouraged you to look at the shows and see what you're up for. You know, and I had not seen Army Wives. I'd heard about it, and I didn't really go back. Okay, now that I know there's an opportunity or a chance exists for me to be on that show, it'd help if I get a look and get a sense of the style and the pace, you know, and the tone of the show, which is different than, you know, all the rest of them. Mm. And so I figure, okay, you start to see what they look for. You can't be better looking than the stars, of course. You know, you can't be necessarily taller than the stars. I remember back in the Showboat Dinner Theater days.
Oh, man.
Gary Berghoff was doing a show there, and I got an audition. And I was like the only guy around who was kind of younger that could probably do it. But I didn't get the part because I'm taller than Gary Berghoff, and you can't be taller than the star. He's a little guy anyway.
Yeah.
You have to probably get a dwarf to play next to him. Because he's 5'2".
And for those who don't recall, Gary Berghoff played Radar in the movie
Radar, right.
And TV series MASH.
So if you want,
and nothing
he's
since
not a,
then.
Well, plays like his Courtney Boone or whatever it was called, where he's, you know, trying to change his image. And this is what, she's almost 30 years ago. The Showboat Dinner Theater. So, and now he has to be this tall, romantic, leading guy, which he's not. He's trying to break out and do something different. Maybe that's why he had some difficulty, because, you know, you can't find people that are shorter than the leading man, who's 5'2". You know,
Ward, I'm, as your friend, I'm going to tell you, stop burning bridges.
Am I burning bridges?
You'll never work with Gary Berghoff again. All right, so let me reframe the conversation. Take us. Let's start with Burn Notice.
Okay.
Now you work with, from what I understand, you work with Gabriel Anwar, who is Speaking of petite, I mean, she's a petite woman, right?
Yeah, she is. She's a little thing. And a sweetheart. I mean, in both shows, the cast and crews couldn't be, you know, nicer or sweeter. I'm only there for one day. I don't have the benefit of being there, you know, through a whole season or whatnot. But everyone does what they can to make you feel, you know, comfortable. And she was feeling like, you know, like hammered scrod that day, she said. I feel like hammered scrod. It was very funny. You look at the call sheet, she was put on the set like about like 6 in the morning. And they didn't get to our scene till about 10 at night, 11 at night. Both times I went down to shoot, we wrapped at midnight. But and she was like, you know, on her last legs, and she just, you know, this close to her, you know. And I said, are you okay? She actually, because I had to play an MI6 agent, she came in closer to me. She said, your accent's good. It's really good. Thanks. Met with approval. And I said, can I get you anything? She's like, oh, just a bed. I'm tired. And I feel awful. She said, I don't want to breathe on you. And I said, you know, it's fine with me. I don't care. I'm happy to be in airspace at this point. So next day I go back and I shoot, and then I see her. Oh, she recognizes me, and I'm going, because I didn't have a scene with her. She had the scene just before I did. And, welcome back. Good to see you again. I mean, it's just, you know, being polite. They're not blowing smoke up your skirt. They're just, that's the way they are, which is really nice. And I asked her how she was. She said, oh, I had bronchitis. That was terrible. And I said, did you steal any of your kids' antibiotics? She said, that's what got me through it. So,
but, so you play an MI6 agent. Right. So who went looking for Ward Smith to play British secret agent?
Well, how it happens, Lori Wyman, who's down in Miami, she casts Burn Notice, among other things, The Glades, is several other shows and movies that are coming into the area that this woman, Lori Wyman, who I got to know through the association, through the, you know, performance studio workshop, didn't know who she was prior to it. So if you're going to get in the business, back in the business or immerse in the local business, you need to know who the players are. And Lori has been doing that for season 6 for Burn Notice. So she's been doing that for quite some time, as much as I know, 5 seasons, maybe more than that. And she sends out the breakdowns. So you're an agent, I'm an agent, you know, and Carol's an agent, whomever, all through the South. She puts out the breakdowns. I need a guy, kind of like for you, like a Bob Balaban kind of a look for the professor part, you know, guy, you know, and description is that, you know, glasses, receding hairliner, bald is nice. See, I wouldn't answer something like that. You know, I would, you know, you wouldn't answer.
Be happy to shave your head.
For sure. But yeah, what's the breakdown? Right. Do they need, you know, cooks, you know, whatever the breakdown calls for, you know, the size, weight, demographic, group, race, racial background, whoever it is. And so they send the breakdown, and what it is, the agents get back to the casting director. Sometimes the casting director will call you up and says, Bob, I have a part for Ward. Here's the script, the sides, which is about the scene. It's maybe a 45-second scene. You know, that you, and have them, you know, put them on tape and get it back to me. Sometimes that works at a plus when they get the breakdown from the production company, the casting director can kind of see in their head, you know, who'd be good for this. So they can limit, you know, their headache by just going, you know, I'll call Bob. This person I want is represented by Mr. Media, so I'll call Mr. Media, and it gets it in. Or they in the case for Burn Notice, they, you know, Lori Wyman told my agent, she said, I want to see Ward and maybe 3 other people from the agency. She sent it out, I guess, and those, so 25 agents that got this breakdown from in the Southeast, right, and also in L.A. So I went on tape. I got it in right away. That's the important thing, is when you get a notice, you know, get yourself on tape and get it back to me by Wednesday. Mm-hmm. Some people will take all that time. Especially you get the announcement on Monday that it's due on Wednesday. I get it back in first as soon as you can, so I'm in that top 10 at least that I have in my mind that I'll be seen. Because when they get these MPEGs and they got to scroll through every actor, sometime, you know, unfortunately, in the case it's after 10 actors, next they're starting to get a little brain dead. And if you're after the first 10, you have a less of a chance to be seen, I think.
Makes sense.
So if you get an interface right away, and you create that top of mind awareness. So that I got down to the first right of refusal, which basically means you're on hold. Mm-hmm. They said it's between you and another guy. And okay. So, but I was the first choice, which is always nice. But you're on hold now. Now at that point, it's real horse trading. Who are they going to get? And it turned out this guy, Trenchcoat. I would say his name is Trenchcoat, but he's I looked him up on IMDb. Good looking kid, kind of looks like Tom Cruise. You know, dark hair but cold blue eyes, and you know he's a Brit for real. He's actually shooting the new Star Trek movie right now. And I hope to God he was so busy where he couldn't get away and do it. So, but I got it. You know.
Wait a minute. You're not talking about Benedict Cumberbatch, are you?
No.
No. Well, I started thinking, wait a minute. He's in Star Trek movie, trench coat. I mean, that guy seems like he's in everything, so it wouldn't surprise me anymore.
Yeah. or Brian Dennehy, who's not in anything anymore.
Yeah.
But, and that's how they came. I mean, the waiting, that was a long weekend. You know, I got the audition in on Thursday. It was waiting Friday, didn't hear anything.
Could we hear your British accent?
Well, it was typical in that it was, you know, I didn't try to force it at all. You know, I just parted, you know, more like a North London sort of thing. It wasn't too cockneyfied. It wasn't too, I mean, decades of listening to Monty Python records, you're able to pick up on so many different dialects and ranges or something like that, you know, and you could just run the gamut of it, you know.
And so you beat out a genuine Brit who's in a Star Trek movie. Very good. Nice
and
work.
And one of my agent's assistants, Darcy, she's from the UK as well, and she's like, she saw the tape before they sent it off. She said, oh, yeah, your accent was just spot on. And she's like, from North London, she's like, I'm a Chelsea fan. She's got her own way of things, and she's like, it's perfect.
And
you know? So if she liked it, there's another girl in class who's from the UK who says it's spot on, you know, and... Gabrielle Anwar, this is three UK, you know, ladies.
I was going to say, right, she's like Scottish or something. She's
She's from the UK, but she plays...
She plays Scottish on the show.
She plays Irish. She plays like an Irish.
I'm sorry. If you see this, come visit. I'll apologize in person.
I'm sure you will. And take it from me, Gabs, because we're on a first name...
Gabs.
Monosyllabic first name basis. Hey, Gabs.
So, you know, every guy who's watching this... doesn't care about your story about how you got the role. They want to know what it's like to be standing opposite Gabs.
Literally, the top of her head is right here.
Yeah.
You know, and I had to cheat a little bit because the scene I had with her, I don't want to give any away. I'm not even authorized to give it away.
Yeah.
So I'm just, but I am a co-star because that's kind of, it'll say co-starring, I'm sorry, guest starring.
Guest starring. That's nice.
So it's up on the top. So I got my own top of show card is the... as the phrase goes. But so they told me to come around, and I was sitting at a desk, and she comes in, and then that's why I go around to say hello and introduce myself and kind of lean back on the desk and, she kind of, you know, start to sort through her background and bring her up to speed on what's going to be happening in your life. You know, and some snappy dialogue in it, too. I don't know if you've watched Burn Notice.
Haven't missed an episode.
If you look at the opening credits, and the same guys that kind of rotate and created the show, Steve Selig, who's one of the writers / directors and associate producers, they kind of change hats, you know, around. And this guy, Jason Tracy, that wrote, an executive producer, and wrote the episode that I did, the guy looks like he should... you know, works the afternoons at Best Buy, you know. He's young kid compared to us, you know. He's in his 30s and just, you know, and he was on set and being very nice. Of course, no one's ever going to pull you aside unless you're really bad and go, or it's not working, you know. You want to do your best job, your own, I'm my own worst critic, you know, if I blew a take, and I did a couple times. And I was just like, because Bernie Harlan is directing it from Cliffhanger and Die Hard 2 fame and Cutthroat Annie, you know, former Mr. Gina Davis's husband. And you know, he's like one of the top 17 grossing directors.
Wait,
so,
Bernie Harlan directed this episode?
Yeah, he directed a couple other episodes last season, too, because he likes to do television. He's a tall Finnish guy.
Yeah.
It's like, I like to keep the chops up, you know. It keeps me in touch with what's happening. He likes the technology, so there's always new cameras.
Super guy. And, of course, you know, I got the first line in both scenes. I've got the first line, you know. And, you know, the cameras are, you know, right there on you. And Rennie Harlan and Gabrielle Anwar, and I'm like, oh God, I can't do it. You know, it's, you know, you want the moment like this. You want it to come. You work for it, and then it shows up.
Are there any pictures of you on set?
There's some, but there's no official stills. If they do come out, it'll be after the show airs, because yeah, they make you sign a little waiver when you get on the set that you will not update your Facebook status. You will not take pictures with your phone. Hey, look, I'm on the set, and, you know.
Yeah, of course, you know, not.
Because they don't want anything in the background. There's a time and place for that, but they just want to control content. If there's something that might give away the storyline or something that might give away, you know, the episode, you know, the spoilers, because they're out there in droves as it is.
Yeah. Well, you don't take a deep breath here, because what I'm going to do is we're going to keep rolling, but I'm going to drop in a picture right here of Gabs, just so if anyone hasn't seen the show, they can really fully appreciate what you got to drool over for a short piece of time.
Did you see her in the Tudors as well?
She was in the Tudors? No.
Yeah, so you go look at the Tudors. She was Anne Boleyn. Did she play Henry's sister? I can't recall.
I don't know. I've never watched the show, but I'm going to have to go now.
She's great in Victorian attire.
Oh.
She was in a little orange jumpsuit because she's in the penal institution right now. It's, you know, she's in the slammer. And as the cliffhanger started, now Michael, Jeffrey Donovan's character, is trying to get her out. And
I think she is a seriously underrated actress and just an incredibly good-looking woman.
She is, and when you see her in True Life, you have to, like, you know, get her to look up at you, so you want to look at those eyes.
Yeah.
You know? And I noticed that they did put a little coloring in her hair. You know, when you're this close on her, you can see she's got kind of an auburn type of hair. And I don't know if they did it for her character, or they probably did it for her character, or just to give her a more distressed look because she's in jail and she's not close to her moisturizers anymore, so they give this kind of drabby appearance. She was still gorgeous. I mean, it's not like she was, you know, charwomaned up and everything and just big prosthetic nose. And I think she would probably still be gorgeous in that sense, too.
I suspect. All right, so look, before we run out of time, you got this other show.
Yeah, I got this. That airs this Sunday.
Army Wives. You've got two episodes of this.
Yep. These came first, actually. I shot these in March.
And you're playing a cop, right? Detective Barker?
Right.
All right? So, I don't know. I'm not the brightest guy doing an online interview show, but I'm guessing somebody in the cast must be in trouble if they're being visited by Detective Barker.
Well, there is a cliffhanger element to it, and as you know, Kim Delaney's character was in the hospital. Will she make it out or not? I don't know. I mean, sometimes they give you the full script so you can get the content, or they just give you your scene, and that's it. So I don't know.
Who did you act opposite? Can you tell us that?
Yes, one of the wives.
That's no help at all.
Catherine Bell.
Mm. Yeah.
Although,
frankly, you can't go wrong with any of those wives.
Terry Serpico and the guys that play the husband.
Yeah.
You know,
I don't care about any of them.
Right, we don't really. But I will say that, yes, the stars of the show, the two women, the two brunette stars of the show, were very nice and very, very funny.
Okay.
But I went up twice, like I did with Burn Notice. She went up, and it was just a one-day shoot. You know, on set for a day, put it in the can, you know, six takes from different angles, and then you're out. And then so you come back, and then it's a different location, and people remember, hey, welcome back, good to see you. And,
nice.
You know, and Catherine Bell said, how are your sons? Because we talked about kids, and, you know, how's your little one? Oh, fine. And, you know, everyone, it's just, you know, they've been there for 6 months, and it's for 6 years, and it's like a family to them. And those, again, they want you to, you know, to have fun. And this guy, Brian McNamara, who plays one of the husbands.
That's right.
He had like this little fart, you know, thing like Ted Webb has, you know.
Yeah.
So, and he's got it behind him, and we're, one of the scenes is working in the living room, and I'm asking questions, sir, did you see anything that would happen to, you know, I've warned you there's going to be a lot of coverage because this type of thing doesn't happen every day in this community, and so they got
to
go back.
Welcome to the cast.
That's what exactly what he said. That's exactly what he said, and I was like, okay, you guys are terrible. And when I started again, they go back, they regroup, and action. I had the first line, it comes, as soon as I'm like, and then they go on, like three times he got me on this. And it's like, it's one thing when you're at fault, you make a mistake or you don't hit your mark and everyone's got to go back. You're costing money
right. And
time because we've got to go back and do it again. Even though they're prepared to go back and do it again, you're still like going, oh God, I don't want it to be me. It should be on the light guy or maybe somebody's making the sound. It's not me. They can't roll their eyes at the guy on camera and go, oh Jesus, just go back and get it again. But since he's the star, he's causing it. Okay, you know, he can do that. I can't throw it. So,
well,
it was a lot of fun, and interesting to see how it worked.
So how will you? So the first episode is this Sunday at 10 o'clock on Lifetime. Big
first
moment.
First check should come after that too.
Oh well, the check's good too. But so I mean, it's a big moment. How will you watch it? Who will you watch it with, and where will you watch it?
Interesting question. I don't know if there's a big family get-together viewing party or something. That'd be nice, but if, you know, probably just end up, you know, watching it someplace. I don't know if it's Sunday night, you know. May have, if I have the stones to walk into the local Hooters and see whatever game's on to get them to change it, you know, to put it on Army Wives, see if that might be a possibility or something like that. We'll see.
I do believe there is a brand new Hooters located probably right between our two homes.
That's right. I'm off of Gandy. Where are you at?
Downtown.
Okay, sure. Well,
yep.
Yeah, I was thinking of that.
Lovely new place, big TVs. I suspect
we could... You talk about timing, Robert. That was one of the big TVs.
TVs. Television sets.
Yes.
Sets
both
of TVs. Yes.
Yes.
Okay. So one more thing before we got to go.
I'm leaning back. I'm sorry.
What's happening with your comedy career? Are you still out there pulling gigs?
I think I have something the end of August out on the beach at Coconuts, out on the beach. I gotta firm that up.
That's where we first met.
Yeah?
Yeah, it was Coconuts out on the beach. It may not have been the same Coconuts, but it was Coconuts out on the beach.
Well, then it was in the Howard Johnson's.
That's
remember?
Right. Yep.
Now, Bob Shoemaker, who's kind of, you know, stayed in that area, St. Pete Beach, from between the Hojos and the Trade Winds, and he was at the St. Pete Hilton for a while, because he lives out there, and people kind of know that. That's where a lot of touristy people go, and people who are, you know, tourists who know the comedy club is in that part of town. So, and they just opened up a new room, I think, in the Sandpiper. I mean, real tricked out, beautiful room. It doesn't look like a conference room, you know, converted into a comedy club. It looks like a real freestanding room. So that'll be interesting to get back in there. So always trying to, you know, do something. If it's not on the camera, it's on the stage or writing a script or, you know, trying to just keep at it. I've been, you know, after for so long, starting to get a little traction. It's a nice motivator to lock in even more. Somebody's in the background. I just saw that.
Yeah. My daughter's slipping by in the background. Just ignore her.
That's right. Pay no attention.
Pay no attention to the droids. These are not the droids you're looking for. Well, tell Bob Shoemaker I said hello. I haven't seen him in a long time.
Yep.
Good guy. I actually did work for him back in the 80s. And folks, listen, folks. You can see our good friend Ward Smith in two episodes of Lifetime's Army Wives. The first will be telecast Sunday, June 24th at 10 p.m., and then he returns the following week, July 1st, also at 10 p.m.
That's right.
Then, look for him opposite Gabs, you know, it's Gabrielle Anwar, who plays Fiona, on Burn Notice on USA on July 19th at 9 p.m. And, Ward, you have your website, wardgregorysmith.com.
That's right. Hopefully the scenes will be getting up there as soon as I get them.
That'll
be
very cool. And can people find you on – I know you're on Facebook as well,
yep,
right?
Facebook and no Twitter. I'm still holding off on the Twitterage
right now. You're Twitter-free, huh?
I am Twitter-free.
All right. You know? Well, I'm speaking for all of your friends in the Bay Area. We're all very proud of you.
Thanks, Bob.
I
appreciate it. Thank you, sir.
And Ward, thanks for joining us on Mr. Media.
Thank you, Mr. Media. See you later.
See ya.
So long from the Sunshine State.
You can see and hear almost 1,000 Mr. Media interviews by visiting our main site, MrMedia.com, MrMedia.com. Or check out the more than 200 video interviews on the Mr. Media radio site on YouTube. And I'd sure appreciate if you'd show some love for Mr. Media's advertisers, including Stitcher. Apple named Stitcher a top 5 news app of 2011. It's a free mobile app for your smartphone or tablet that lets you listen to your favorite shows and discover the best of news, entertainment, and sports on demand. You can listen whenever you want to more than 5,000 shows, get customized recommendations, and discover what your friends are listening to. My own list of Stitcher favorites is pretty eclectic. I start my day with an hour of MSNBC's Morning Joe with Joe Scarborough and Mika Brzezinski. Then it's the latest 2-minute update from the Onion News Network. After that, I'll listen to WTF with Mark Maron, Here's the Thing with Alec Baldwin, HBO's Real Time with Bill Maher, and excerpts from E's Chelsea Lately and The Soup with Joel McHale. Also in regular rotation on my Stitcher playlist, The BS Report with ESPN's Bill Simmons, The TechCrunch Headlines, and The Don Geronimo Show. The latest episodes of each show, whether originating from broadcasts, cable TV, radio syndication, or podcasts, are continuously updated. Stitcher is a free app for your iPhone, iPad, Kindle, Fire, BlackBerry, Droid, and more. And show your support of Mr. Media by getting, did I mention it's free? The app at stitcher.com/Mr. Media. That's stitcher.com/MR Media. Stitcher Smart Radio, the smarter way to listen to radio. We're also supported by Audible. Check out Audible's 30-day trial membership and download the audiobook version of the book everyone's been talking about, 50 Shades of Grey by E.L. James. Sign up for your free trial today at audible.com/radio. Again, audibletrial.com/radio. And finally, if you need a disc jockey for a wedding, bar mitzvah, corporate event, or just a big old party, please consider calling 1-800-DIAL-DJS, the party authority, for all your party entertainment needs. You can call 1-800-DIAL-DJS or go to their website, 1-800-DIAL-DJS.com, and tell them Mr. Media sent you. And thanks for listening.
Help! This is Barbara Eden. Mr. Media has trapped me in a bottle. Will someone please get me out of here?